Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning, I've entitled my lesson, Tell Me the Truth. It is so important that we allow the truth of God's Word to be in our life. Many people today don't want the truth. They don't want to be told the truth. Often, it's because the majority of people around us are in conflict with the truth of God's Word, and we just want to go with the majority. It reminds me of the Old Testament story in 1 Kings chapter 22, when Israel's king Ahab and the southern kingdom Jehoshaphat, they were joining together to go fight against Syria. And Jehoshaphat wants to know if there's a prophet who we can hear from God's word, should we go up against Syria or not? And the false prophets said to Ahab and Jehoshaphat, just paraphrasing the story, the false prophets, this Zedekiah and other false prophets said, go up, you'll be fine. He made this iron horns, as it were, and with these horns of iron, you will punish the Syrians. Go up. And Jehoshaphat says, well, is there anybody else? And Ahab says, well, there's this prophet Micaiah, but I don't like him because he never prophesies good of me. He always prophesies evil, and that's because Ahab was an evil man. Well, they eventually get Micaiah, and Micaiah says, sure, go up, in a sarcastic way. He knew that they were bent on doing that anyway. And Ahab says, no, tell me the truth. And Micaiah says, okay, I see Israel scattered as sheep without a shepherd. In other words, you're going to be killed. And he was later killed. Ahab was later killed in battle. But people don't want the truth. And as the story goes on, what's really sad is the one who told the truth, Micaiah, he was mistreated. Zedekiah came near and smote him on the cheek, hit him. And then later, Micaiah was put in prison and fed the bread of affliction. And so people who stand for truth sometimes are mistreated. But Ahab and Jehoshaphat listened to the false prophets. Some people have already got it in their mind what they want to do in life, and they don't want to hear the truth of God's word. Some people go by what their family says, or what their friends say, or what they read on their phone, or what's popular in culture. But friends, we need the truth of God's word in our lives. Tell me the truth. That needs to be our motto, not just in our relationship with God, but in every aspect of our life. Tell me the truth at work, at school, in marriage, home, family. We've got to have a life based upon truth. Truth represents reality. It's what actually exists. 2 + 2 = 4. That's reality. That's what actually exists. It's not a fantasy. Truth is not a fantasy. Truth is not vanity, emptiness. It's not science fiction. It's not this escapism when you go see a movie, and I don't believe it's wrong to see a movie that is science fiction, to have a little bit of levity or a little bit of relaxation or something like that. But sometimes people want this fantasy world that they have in movies and things like that. They want that in their real life, and that's just not a good idea. God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. Jesus said on another occasion, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice, John 18:37-38. And that's what prompted Pilate to ask, what is truth? That's a great question. What is truth? But even a question, you know, more foundational prior to that is, do I even want the truth? Is there even such a thing as truth? And the answer is, yes, there is. And with our relationship to God, it's found in the New Testament scriptures, the New Testament gospel. Tell me the truth. John writes in John 1:17, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's where we turn for grace and truth. There was truth in the Old Testament, and it continued to come through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus left this earth, what he said was the truth, and it's recorded in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what he said in his earthly life. And when he left, he said that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of truth, will come and guide the apostles into all the truth, John 16:13. So Jesus' words when he was present on this earth, and then his words, Jesus said, he will take of mine and declare it unto you. Acts through Revelation are also the words of Jesus, and it's all the truth. And so that's what we have in the New Testament. When the gospel is preached, Ephesians 1:13, Paul, looking back on the conversion of the Ephesians, said, you heard the word of truth. Well, what did they hear? They heard the gospel preaching. And that's what the gospel is. James 1:18, the word of truth. And you can obey the truth. 1 Peter 1:22. So we're not going to go by isms. We're not going to go by postmodernism, humanism, secularism, naturalism, which is evolution. We're not going to go by isms. We're not going to go by human philosophies. We're going to go by truth. Is that the approach that we take in life? Friend, I want to encourage you to do that. It's the truth that is our spiritual and moral compass that will guide us to God. All these isms, it would be like having a compass that just spins round and round and round. You'll go nowhere with that. You'll go in circles. It's vain. It's empty. And you'll go nowhere. We've got to have the truth in our lives. So this morning on the program, I just want to talk about a few things with regard to truth. And I hope that this lesson will encourage us and encourage you to come to the truth of the gospel. We can sit down with an open Bible between us and we can arrive at truth. It's a standard. It's like a tape measure. If you and I were trying to come to an agreement on how long something is, we could have a tape measure between us, and we can arrive at the truth by using that standard of measurement. And you and I, friend, can sit down with the New Testament gospel between us and arrive at truth as to the life that we need to be living. Can I help you with that? Will you let me help you with that? So let's talk about some things involving truth. First of all, I want to talk about the nature of truth. The nature of truth. First of all, it's narrow. Jesus talks about the narrow way that leads to eternal life, Matthew 7:13-14, and the broad way that leads to destruction. Truth is narrow, and that's one reason why people don't like it. It's confined to the pages of the New Testament, and there is a particular standard that God wants us to live by. We can live by it. It's not hard to live by. It's achievable, but it's narrow. We can't just live any way we want. And so it's a standard that has a moral and ethical narrowness and standard to it. We need to talk a certain way. We need to dress a certain way. We need to act a certain way. We need to think a certain way. We need to take care of our body properly. We need to treat others properly and a host of things. And it's narrow compared to the world. The world says live any way you want. But it's narrow. It's also firm. It's not bending. It doesn't constantly change. And so we need to apply our lives to it. We need to come and bring our lives into conformity to it. It's not plastic. It doesn't bend and move around. John chapter 3 and verse 20, everyone that does evil hates the light, and the light here is the light of truth, Jesus, and comes not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifest, that they have been wrought in God. People who hate evil, they don't want to come to the light. But the light doesn't change and move all over the place and allowing you to have any life you want. You have to come to the light, and it's not going to change. It's firm. Number three, it's consistent. Yes is yes and no is no. There's no situation ethics where sometimes it's okay to lie and sometimes it's not okay to lie and sometimes it's okay to cheat and sometimes it's not and sometimes it's okay to commit sexual sin and sometimes it's not. It's consistent. Number four, it's objective. It's outside of us. It's not subjective. Truth is not determined by Chris Reeves. It's not determined by your feelings or my feelings. It's objective. It's outside of us. It's the Word of God. Jesus said, "Thy Word," speaking of His Heavenly Father, "Thy Word is truth," John 17:17. So it's objective. It's narrow. It's firm. It's consistent. It's objective. And it consists of the whole counsel of God. And it will make you free. John 8:32 and following. It will make you free. Jesus said the truth will make you free. And we need to be set free from so many things. First of all, we need to be set free from sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin is a violation of God's law. And we need to be free from that. And we can be free by obeying the gospel. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us of our sins when we are baptized into Christ and His blood washes away our sins in baptism. We need to be free from sin. But we need to be free from some other things. We need to be free from lies that we're being told. We need to be free from superstitions that people have that they share. We need to be free from ignorance. That is rampant everywhere. We need to be free from human philosophies. These other things will cripple us and destroy us. You can't just get on your phone and surf the net and find out what truth is on a matter. That is coming from other individuals. Jeremiah 9:23, it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. And so there's so many lies being told, so many superstitions being propagated in ignorance and isms and philosophies, and that just gets parroted all over the web, and we're going to look up on our phone what somebody believes about such and such. We're going to the wrong place, and we're just enslaved. We're enslaved to what man is saying about this or that. We need to be free from that and liberated from that. And that's something that a lot of people like. I don't know anybody really that likes to be enslaved. And we can be free from those things, sin and these other things, with the truth of the gospel. Can I help you to be free from that? So the nature of truth is very important to understand. But I'd also like to talk about the reception of truth. The truth is laying there right in your Bible, and Bibles are everywhere. And if you don't have a Bible and I can help you get one, I'd be glad to help you get a Bible. Most people have their own, but it's laying right there on the pages of the New Testament. But you and I have to receive it. It's not going to miraculously jump into your heart. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, "Buy the truth and sell it not." It needs to be something that we go after, and we have our mind set on that so that we can have it in our lives and not get rid of it. We need to obey it at any cost. We need to count the cost and follow Jesus, Luke 14:26. And count the cost and be willing to give up anything for the truth. It may cost us some friends. It may cost us a job. It may cost us changing relationships that we've been in that are sinful. It may cost us a number of things, but the blessings will be forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven, and it will be worth whatever cost is paid. We need to receive it as it is, the very word of God. Paul prays the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, because they received the word of truth as it was the word of God. It's the very word of God, friends. We don't need to try to manipulate it and say, well, you know, it's not really the word of God, and Paul was just giving his opinion about this or that. This was first century cultural ideas. I hear that sometimes. We need to receive it as it is, the very word of God. Some people today, they understand the truth of the New Testament very plainly. It's very obvious what it is. And then they go about trying to change it and make it something other than what it really is. We need to love it. If we don't love the truth, God will make sure that we believe a lie. And I'm not trying to be mean or ugly toward anyone. And I would hope that this would not be the case with you. But I know that it is very common in our society today that so many people have believed a lie. And chances are, maybe that's been the case with you. And it's easy for me to believe a lie. It's easy to do because it's just so prevalent all around us. But we're told, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, and for this cause God sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie. Why? That they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And if you back up to verse 10, God will make sure that people are deceived. People are deceived with unrighteousness from them that perish. Why, Paul? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Well, what were they doing? Verse 11, they were believing a lie. So some people don't love the truth. So we've got to love it. And we've got to change our life, not the truth. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to change our life, not try to change the words of the New Testament. And people try to do that. They try to bend it and twist it and make it say something. Sometimes people get done twisting the Bible and they've got it saying the opposite of what it really says. We need to be changing our life, not trying to change the truth. And we need to understand that the truth is for all men. God would have all men to be saved. That's a great thing. That's a blessed thing. But then what does Paul say there in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4? God would have all men to be saved. How? And that they would come to a knowledge of the truth. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's how we're saved, by coming to a knowledge of the truth. Can I help you to have that knowledge? We can just simply read our Bibles together. We can learn it. We can understand it. We can come to that knowledge of the truth, and we can be saved. And Paul said, friend, that you are included in that, all men. What a great thing that is. So the reception of the truth is very important. It could be in your hands. It could be in your home, a Bible, that is. But let's love it enough to start reading it and receiving it into our heart and mind. And then I want to talk a little bit about the practice of truth. It's not enough to have it in our hands. We've got to get it in our hearts and in practice in our lives. When we begin to practice the truth, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where God sees if we're really serious or not about our love for the truth. And so let me talk about some ways in which we can practice it in our life. First of all, we can suffer the consequences of living by it. I told you earlier about the prophet Micaiah that told Ahab the truth. Well, later in that story, the false prophet smacks him on the cheek, and then they throw him in prison. We've got to be willing to suffer any consequences for living by the truth. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den for living by the truth. His friends were thrown in a fiery furnace for living by the truth and not bowing down to idolatry. Jesus was put on a cross. Paul suffered all kinds of mistreatment, beating and scourging and imprisonment and other kinds of things because he stood for the truth. John the Baptist got his head cut off because he preached the truth. He said to an unlawfully married couple, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And he literally lost his head over it. Stephen was stoned for preaching the truth. And so, yes, there may be some negative consequences, but there are great rewards in the end for living by that. We need to worship by the truth. Jesus said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. This is hard for a lot of people because they're members of different denominations and different religions, and they have all different kinds of worship patterns and plans in place, and much of it is not in the New Testament. At the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, we have a very simple worship service that matches the New Testament worship service. You would be surprised how simple and elegant in its simpleness or in its plainness that it is. There's an elegance, really, to simplicity. We sing, and you can hear each other sing, and we pray together, and we do those things that are found in the New Testament. We don't have a worship that is not according to truth. You can have all kinds of man-made worship, and it might be fun and exciting and exuberant and all of that kind of thing, but it's not worshiping in spirit and in truth. We need to be willing to defend the truth. Paul stood up for the truth on many occasions, and in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5, he was going to preach the truth about the gospel, that it does not include the old law or circumcision in order to be saved. And he was persecuted for that. People didn't like him for that. But he stood up for the truth. And he said that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. We gave in the place of subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Stand up for it. Defend it. Don't let anybody hinder us. The Galatian brethren were doing well, and Paul said, "You were running well. Who hindered you? Who hindered you? What? That you should not obey the truth." They started obeying when they became Christians in Acts 13 and 14, but later they allowed false teaching to hinder them, and they were not obeying the truth. We've got to continue to obey it. We've got to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. We've got to wear the truth. The truth, the sword of the Spirit, and the Word of God are the truth. And then Paul says, putting on this whole armor of God, we've got the gospel of, we shod our feet with the gospel of peace. We take up the shield of faith. We put on the helmet of salvation. We take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we pray. We put on the whole armor of God, and they're all related. All of these pieces of armor are related to Bible truth. We've got to wear it, if you will. We've got to wear it. And back in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and the gospel on our feet," and so forth. as I mentioned earlier. We've got to wear it, if you will. Gird your loins with truth. It's got to be around that middle section that allows us to move forward in battle and fight the fights that we need to fight. We need to support the truth. The local church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. So it's very, very important, friends, that we put it into practice in our lives. We need to preach it. We need to preach the truth and be urgent in season and out of season. 2 Timothy 4:2-4. We don't need to reject the truth. Hebrews 10:26. We don't need to stray from the truth or err from the truth. James 5:19. We need to be established and settled and founded on the truth. 2 Peter 1:12. We don't need to speak evil of the truth. 2 Peter 2:2. And we need to walk and live by the truth. 3 John 4. So friends, I appreciate you listening to me each week. If you do that, I always appreciate those who support this program by listening to it. I greatly appreciate that. But I will say this, when you hear the truth each week, that's a starting point, but that's not the finishing point. We've got to hear it, we've got to receive it, but we have to put it into practice in our life each and every day. And if I can help, if you're not doing that and I can help you to do that, please let me help you. We live in a world, friends, where many will not speak the truth. They don't want to confront others. Paul was willing to confront one of his fellow apostles, Peter, when he was not living right in Galatians 2:14. He saw that he was not walking uprightly according to the truth, and he spoke to Peter and told him so. We've got to be willing to do that. There are people who are corrupt in mind and bereft of the truth. 1 Timothy 6:5. And we've got to help them. Sometimes it's easy to say, well, just leave them alone. But we've got to try to help them. And we've got to work with people who don't want it. Some resist the truth. They withstood the truth when Moses was trying to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. These two men, Jannes and Jambres, they withstood the truth and they withstood Moses. There's going to be that kind of thing in our life, but we have to press forward. There's going to be people who turn their ears away from the truth. 2 Timothy 4:4. But that doesn't mean we stop. So friends, in the judgment day, God is going to judge us by the truth of the gospel. Romans 2:16. It is best for us now to be living by that truth each and every day. Can I help you with that? Can we sit down with the truth between us, that standard of right and wrong, and learn what we can do to be right? Tell me the truth. Let that be our motto each and every day. And if I can help you with that, please contact us. Thank you for being with us this morning, and have a good day.